something I don't already know. I know that you can't stand these things I'm preaching in the streets, but how can I contain the truth I hold inside? With all the hurting people that I see, so I don't mind putting up with you and all the things you say. I'm not about to stop or even change my ways.
Hey everyone, welcome back. You're listening to the True Stream Oasis podcast. The True Stream Oasis podcast is part of the Revelations Radio Network. You can find the True Stream podcast at www.truestreamoasis.com or at truestream.podomatic.com. You can find the Revelations Radio Network at revelationsradionetwork.com. I'm your host, Amos Ridley, and today is the day that the Lord has made. So let us be glad and rejoice in it. Though we sit in the midst of much spiritual darkness all around us, though we sit in darkness, the Lord will be our light. He is our light and our salvation. He is our rock of refuge. Whom shall we fear? The Bible says also that, you know, stop trusting in man, for, you know, of what account is he? He has but a breath in his nostrils. So as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So, in this day and age, wherever you are out there listening, I want to let you know that God is on his holy throne. He is in control. He is the sovereign almighty. There is not one molecule floating around in the universe that is not under his control and his watchful eye. He is aware of all things. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways past finding out. So for those of you out there who need a word of encouragement to keep going, who maybe are in financial trouble, maybe you've lost your job, maybe you're having problems with family members, maybe you're just one of those people out there who feel like nobody understands you, maybe you've been scarred by sin, maybe your heart's been pillaged in some way through some experiences that you've been through. Maybe you feel alone. Maybe you're scared. Wherever you are, the Lord is sovereign. He's on his holy throne, and he is there available for anyone who wants to call out to him. He is kind and compassionate and is love. And on that note, I wanted to start out this podcast with reading a scripture for you. And it was just something that I opened up to, and I felt the Lord just, you know, laying it on my heart to read this to you guys. And it's Psalm 145, and it's starting at verse 17. And it says, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever." And that's something that if you're out there, if you have a need, if life has not taken the turn that you wanted it to, if God is calling you to wake up, if you hear his voice, today is the day of salvation. Today, there is no other day than today. Tomorrow is not here and yesterday's gone. So when tomorrow gets here, it'll still be today. And that today will be no different than this today. So you've heard the saying, sooner than later. If you feel the Lord calling to you, if you hear His voice calling out to you, if you feel that tug on your heart, then respond. Today is the day to respond. Nobody's guaranteed tomorrow. So the Lord is gracious. He's righteous in all His ways and loving toward all He has made. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He hears their cry and saves them. So I just felt led to read that in the beginning of this podcast to you guys. We're going to be doing finishing up the study in Galatians chapter 6. I want to thank all of you guys for being patient and not emailing me and saying, "Hey, Amos, you know, where'd the podcast go?" The last few months, many of you guys know that have emailed me and I've spoken with you. It's been, wow, what a ride. You know, I moved to Australia and it's been difficult. I came over here pretty much with nothing. I pretty much started over. And it's just been a long road. I lived in a small place, a very small place. And, you know, we have kids. We got five kids now. I had a beautiful baby boy named Joshua Caleb born in October of 2009. So that was a real blessing. But, you know, with five kids in such a small place, there's really nowhere to do the podcast. You know, it's basically loud. It was hard to focus. So, you know, I focused on what I needed to focus on for the last few months, and that was to get things settled, get, you know, work situation settled, and get that taken care of. And, you know, God blessed us. He blessed us. You know, He blessed the efforts that I put forth with work. And so we're rebuilding, and I'm in a little bit bigger of a place here now, and I just want to thank the Lord for that, for His provision. I have a private office now where I can kind of tuck away and get some work done or do a podcast. So hopefully I'll be able to get back on the podcast more often as the Lord leads. As you guys know, I don't come on here and say, "Hey, this is going to be every Thursday at 9 o'clock or whatever, or I'm going to do 1, 2, 3 podcasts a week." I get on here when the Lord, you know, does something in my life and gives me something, you know, to give to all of you. So that's kind of how I work that. But, you know, we just made the move here. I've got the new office. I've got the ability to do the podcast in quiet and have some, you know, time to spend and study and share it with you guys. So here we are. Anyway, with that said, we're going to be taking a look at Galatians 6. And this is going to finish up the study in Galatians. I pray that the study in Galatians has been a blessing to you guys. I really feel like it is like the gospel sewn up in this letter, you know, that Paul wrote to the church of Galatia. I know a lot of people out there struggle with works and grace and law and, you know, what do I do? And, you know, I'm not justified by the law, but what does that mean? Does that mean, you know, it's okay to sin? Is, you know, what does grace mean versus the law? But you know what it simply is, and we can all rest in this, is if you have the Holy Spirit, He will guide you. When you get into an area that you're not supposed to be in, He will convict your heart. He will do the work. And you'll be miserable until, you know, you're ready to give it up. And God is the one that is involved in all that process. He's our Savior. So that's part of the whole thing about resting in Him. You know, we walk by the Spirit, not by the works of the law. We walk by the Spirit. And the Spirit is the one who gave Moses the law. So, you know, because the Holy Spirit is God, and He's the one who gave Moses the law. The law was there to make us aware of sin. And, you know, once God made us aware of that, He's had a plan, and He's delivering us out of spiritual bondage. into the freedom that is in Christ. And that's what the book of Galatians is all about. You need to be just be wary of extremes, you know. There are some people who are, you know, works-based, they're into law, legalism. And there are some people on the other side who can get into, you know, grace too much, you know, to the point where it becomes licentiousness, you know, a license to sin. So the prudent man will avoid all extremes, the Bible says. So hopefully this the study in Galatians has opened your eyes. I'm sure it could be delved into a lot more, but I wanted to share with you some of the things that, you know, myself, Brother Cliff, Brother Ezra, you know, I had them on the podcast for a couple of these studies. But hopefully it's been a blessing to you. So we're going to finish up the book of Galatians with Galatians chapter 6. We're going to read the chapter fully and let the Lord's word do the talking first. And then we'll go through it and just expound upon it as, you know, the Holy Spirit leads. But, you know, you have no need of anybody to teach you. If you have the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. And the Holy Spirit is the best teacher of all because he knows exactly how you think. And because he created you down to your very unique fingerprint and DNA. So he knows you inside and out. And he knows how to communicate his word and basically open the eyes of your understanding to his word in a way that no teacher could. But I would like to share with you a few thoughts that I feel that the Lord has shown me and taught me. So let's read through Galatians chapter 6. It says, "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself, without comparing himself to somebody else, for each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand? Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law. Yet they want you to be circumcised, that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, even to the Israel of God. Finally, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen." And amen. God's word is awesome. It is a double-edged sword penetrating to the division of soul and spirit. God's word is awesome. And let us thank the Lord and praise him for his word. If it wasn't for his word, we would be lost. And so Let's start back at the beginning. We're going to look at this. Paul is saying, you know, brothers, if someone's caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. Gently. So there's something to be said there in that word gently. A lot of us, well, I shouldn't say a lot of us, but sometimes what happens is some people are self-righteous. They forget where they came from. They forget that they're a sinner. They become saved and maybe a little bit of self-righteousness seeps in, and you know, when they bring an issue to somebody, they're not doing it gently, they're not doing it humbly, they're not doing it in love. And that can only come from a situation where the person has forgotten where they came from. It reminds me of situation where the parable that Jesus told about the two servants who owed the king money. And I think it was one servant in this parable where he owed the king so much money and he could never pay it back. The king knew that he could never pay back all that money, no matter how long this servant worked. He's like, oh Lord, you know, forgive my debt, I'll pay it back. But the king knew that he couldn't pay it back, so he just forgave him the debt and sent him on his way, set him free from that debt. That's a picture of the Lord forgiving us our debts and trespasses and sins against him and others. And in the parable, this servant went out and he had some other person owe him money. And so he ended up, you know, persecuting this person, saying, you need to pay me, you need to pay me, and had him thrown in prison. And this friend of his or other servant who owed him money said the same thing to him as he had said to the king. Oh, just give me time, I'll pay you back, just give me time, you know. And he didn't. Had him thrown in prison. And then others heard about this and they went to the king and they said, look, they're like, oh mighty king, you know, the servant that you forgave his debt, he, you know, he's done this horrible thing. He had a person that owed him money and he had him thrown in prison. And basically, as the account in the parable goes, the Lord had that servant thrown in prison. Why? Because we are to forgive the trespasses of others, okay, as we are forgiven. It's in the Lord's Prayer. He says, forgive us our debts or trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive and it shall be forgiven. So you forgive as, it's the golden rule, really. If you think about it, treat others how you would want to be treated. And you are treated sometimes how you treat others. You know, so it's when you're in a situation where a brother's caught in a sin, be humble. You who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Sometimes when you're in a situation where you're restoring somebody, or you're bagging on somebody because they're, you know, they're in a sin and you're not being gentle and you're not being understanding or compassionate the way the Lord has been with you, which can be understandable if the person's just arrogant and stuck in pride, and you know, God says he opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. So, you know, it's a little bit difficult situation if the brother just, you know, is hardened and is refusing that restoration. It's a little bit different story, but we're still to try to restore them gently. But be careful, because you might face the same thing one day. Watch out. You may be tempted as well. And sometimes I've had that happen to me. You know, I'm in a situation where I have this thought about somebody else because they're stuck in a sin. And then I've fallen into that same sin myself. So it happens. So restore others gently when they're caught in a sin. And watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. And what is the law of Christ? It's love. Love. The fruits of the Spirit. It's love. And so when you carry each other's burdens, You're making somebody else's burden lighter. Sometimes it really helps just to go up to somebody and say, you know, how you doing, brother? And we can be truthful with one another because we don't hide. We walk in the light. And so you have a brother who has a burden. You come up alongside them. You pray for them. You cry with them if you need to. You laugh with them. Whatever. You share one another's burdens. And it's so nice to have a brother or sister in the Lord, a friend, come up and help, you know, just so that you don't feel alone. You know, they're carrying that burden with you, and it makes that load lighter, because a lot of time the burden is just a mental thing. You know, you're not physically carrying a big heavy pack on your back. A lot of times it's a mental or emotional or something of that nature, and it's so nice to have somebody come along and soothe that by helping you carry that burden, by sharing with you, crying with you if necessary, letting them know that letting you know that they understand what you're going through. So you share that experience. It's a beautiful thing. Then we go on and says, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So if you've ever wondered about, you know, Jeremiah 17:9, where it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? And you have ever wondered if, you know, how does one deceive themselves? Well, here's one example. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So let us not be high-minded. Pride is one of the number one things that the Lord hates. And if you really think about it, a lot of the sins that can be committed at the very root of it is pride and selfishness. So let's have a realistic look of ourselves at ourselves. It's the picture of the publican and the Pharisee who went up to pray. The Pharisee said, I thank God, you know, I thank you, God, that I am not like these other men. You know, I give and I do this and yada, yada, yada. And the publican, who was a tax collector, just came up and he couldn't even lift his eyes to heaven. And he said, you know, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I am a sinner. And Jesus said, he is the one who went away justified. So in looking at this, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. It's this section right here is interesting because he's saying without comparing himself to somebody else. If we judge or compare ourselves with another person on a horizontal level, horizontal left to right, verticals up to down, up and down, on a horizontal level, if we're comparing ourselves with other people, that's just foolish. We shouldn't be comparing ourselves to other people because God is the standard. Go back into the second or third podcast on TrueStream and re-listen to the what is our standard, God or man? And we established that God is the ruler. He sets the rules, and his rules and his character and everything that he is about is the standard of measurement. And so it's foolish to compare ourselves with other people. So, each one should test his own actions. And that test should, the litmus test should be based on the test with God's word and who God is, not testing his own actions against somebody else, because we're all sinful. Why measure, to get a true gauge of your own actions, why are you going to measure it against somebody else who's got flawed actions, who's a sinner? So, keep that in mind. Plant that away. That's a good thought. And then the next verse is pretty self-explanatory. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. And I might add that does not mean money. It's all good things is what he's saying. So if you have a word of encouragement, you can share that word of encouragement with your instructor. If you, anything, send somebody a card, brighten their day, smile,
phone call, prayer, share all good things. It's not just money. Let that be as it may. Verse 7, it says, do not be deceived. That's a command. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. So obviously, if you think that God can be mocked, you're deceived. So don't be deceived, because God cannot be mocked. In other words, God's not going to come out in the end. There's no man that can turn what God has done or what God is all about into a mockery. And God's not wrong, okay? He's righteous in all of his ways. His word never fails to come to pass. It always takes place exactly as he said it. He tells the end from the beginning. So the Lord is sovereign. God cannot be mocked. He can't. It's physically impossible for a man, for God to be mocked by a man. So don't be deceived. A man reaps what he sows. A man reaps what he sows. Reaping is likened to getting the fruit from your crop. Sowing is planting the seeds. So if you plant a seed for something, and you know, you plant a tomato seed, okay? You plant it in the ground and you nurture that. Guess what? You're going to get a tomato plant, okay? And if you get a tomato plant and you're disappointed, then I would ask you, well, why did you plant a tomato seed? Whatever you plant, if it grows, some things don't grow, but you're going to reap whatever you sow. You're going to eat the harvest of whatever you plant. And so if you are planting good things, you'll reap good things. As it says here, it says, the one who sows or plants to please his sinful nature. Okay, so you're planting these sinful things in your life. From that nature, your sinful nature, you'll reap destruction. In the end, it's destruction. There's no other way around it. It's just destruction in the end. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit, will reap eternal life. So if you're walking in the direction of the Spirit, and you are looking, and as the Bible says, setting your affections, your desires on things above, not on things on the earth, and you're working to sow those good things in the direction of the Spirit, your spiritual nature, from the Spirit, you will reap eternal life. So there's a very, very beautiful, enlightening principle here that God's trying to tell us. And it's so simple. And, you know, you might say, well, okay, you know, but it's good to revisit it and put it in our minds and think about it, because it applies to everything that we do. It's kind of like each action has an opposite and equal reaction. So whatever you sow, whatever you plant, you're going to eat the harvest in the end. And I would go so far as to say, unless the Lord intervenes, you always eat the harvest. Because if I throw a rock at a flimsy window, that window is going to break. I have an action and there is a reaction. You know, that rock's speed and density, the glass will not hold up. It's going to go through the glass if I throw it hard enough. There's consequences to things. So be aware that what you're planting now can come back in the end, and you may not like the plant. You may not like the fruit from the plant that you planted. I think a lot of us out there understand this. Like, I came to the point, a lot of you guys who are true streamers from the very beginning have heard my testimony about my salvation, how I was deep in sin and the Lord rescued me. Well, I had to eat a lot of crow. It was really nasty tasting. I had to eat that harvest of what I had done, but the Lord was merciful to me. He did not treat me as my actions deserved. He was very merciful. Saved my spirit, saved my life, gave me a new life, forgave me and gave me a new life. So, but we have those times. If we go into a season of sin, we're going to have those consequences. And they're not pleasant. But you know, you're sometimes our own backsliding will reprove us. You know, it's those consequences, you know, the sequence of events that we don't like, you know, like the pros and cons. They're not pro sequences, they're consequences. So be careful, be a smart farmer and plant towards the Spirit, and from the Spirit you will reap eternal life. So let's move on. It says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So for those of you out there who are weary, maybe you, like me, came to the Lord for real around 9/11. Maybe it just woke you up. It's not really to focus on the time, but I'm just giving an example. For those of you that might have come around since 9/11 and you're on fire, and you know, you feel like your flame's dying out a little bit, you know, because you're getting tired, you've been witnessing, and maybe you haven't been seeing, you know, maybe you've been witnessing with your family or friends, and you know, they're just making fun of you, they don't believe you, or maybe you just feel like your words just come out of your mouth and fall flat on the ground, and you're just getting tired of the battle. Maybe it's not so much about witnessing, maybe it's just about following the Lord in this crazy world where everything's going in the opposite direction. You're like the proverbial salmon who is trying to swim against the stream, this X stream, and you're getting tired. Well, let me tell you, friend, I'm with you. I'm with you. We're all in this together. Where I've often said, you know, we're all fellowship. You know, we're all fellows in the same ship, facing the same storms, the same darkness, and that's why this is a fellowship. I'm with you. Like, if I could say anything, I could say that, you know, since I became a Christian, in the very beginning, there was all this fire, and I want that back, you know, but the world is making us weary, guys. We got to battle with the enemy. We've got to not become weary in doing good. Sometimes, if you're tired, you just got to take that step. I haven't been on the mic here in a while, and I wasn't sure if the Lord was, you know, going to step in like you had in the past. I feel kind of like tired. You know, I've worked really hard to try to get my family where, you know, things are more settled. And sometimes, guys, I just get tired. I get tired of working out there in the marketplace with marketing and websites and things like that. And so whatever you're doing, I can relate. You know, whatever your situation, if you're having a difficulty with your relationship with your wife or with your husband or in your marriage, maybe you're having difficulties with your kids, maybe it's family, maybe it's a job, whatever it is. Maybe you got somebody at work that just constantly is on you all the time. Just be encouraged. Be encouraged, because he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. And that's not just a reference of Satan, that's a reference of you, because you're in the world. God's greater than you, and if you can't do it, he can. He can do incredible things through you. Sometimes you just need to take a step and keep doing that good. Take the step. The Lord gives you the strength in the moment that you need it. And if you take that step, he will be faithful, for he cannot do anything else. He is faithful. If faithful isn't a description of something that he's become, like an adjective, it's like we get the word faithful because we look at the Lord and we're like, that's what he is. Okay. Hopefully some of you guys got where I was going there. But don't give up in well doing. Patient endurance. If you're not weary in well doing, you will receive a harvest. You will reap if you don't give up. So don't give up. Don't ever give up. Sometimes you might need to take a rest and just stand where you're at, but don't go back. Don't turn around. You know where that road leads, and that road doesn't lead to a good place. Definitely doesn't lead to God's kingdom, where we will find the ultimate rest in the Lord. So don't give up. Don't give up. If you have to, get down on your knees and ask God for strength. And for those of you out there that need prayer, write me. I'll pray for you. And I hope you guys pray for me. Because I feel it. It feels like we're walking through a desert. It's getting weary. You know? But hopefully, this is a little drink in the middle of the desert, like a true stream oasis. So that's why I chose the name. So let's move on. It says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers, because that's our family. They are blood-bought believers by the same Lord Jesus Christ. They're precious. That's like our family. You know, you're gonna be better to your family than some stranger because they're family. And so, be that as it may, we'll move on. Verse 11, he says, see what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Some people believe Paul had eye difficulties, and I think he had some people write for him. Sometimes he would dictate it, but he actually wrote this letter with his own hand. It says, those who want to make a good impression, verse 12, those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. Well, let's take this slowly. Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. You remember when Samuel was told by God to go out to Jesse's and line up his sons, and he said, the Lord's anointed is there. And he was like, surely it must be this one. This one's ruddy, of good complexion, and strong. And God's like, no, that's not him. Keep going. He said, man looks at the outside. God looks at the heart. And see, that's the difference. As man gets caught up in the outward appearance. And that's where all this comes from. That's where this legalism comes from. That's where all this wanting to be justified by the law. Oh, look at me. I do this and I do that. And I deserve to be in your kingdom, Lord, because I kept your law. You know, like the whole thing with the rich young ruler, where Jesus walked up to him. Or no, the rich young ruler walked up to Jesus and he said, good teacher, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? Well, there's only one that's good, and that's God. Sometimes I think, just as a side note, I think I've said this before, but I believe it may have been that Jesus was asking the rich young ruler, are you saying that I am God? Are you recognizing that I'm God? Are your eyes open? He says, why are you calling me good? He says, there's only one good but God. So that might have been one possible thing there. But to kind of move on with the account that happened, he said, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus first started out, I guess, to see if he saw his own sin. He said, keep the law. And he said, this I have done ever since I was a child. And so right then and there, it tells you that the rich young ruler was justifying himself based on his works. He didn't see his own condition, because nobody can keep the law perfectly. So he would have said, oh, wow, well, I really messed up there, you know, then Jesus would have went in a different direction. So in order to show him, he used something that was precious to him. He said, go sell all you have and give it to the poor. Come and follow me. And he went away sorrowful because he had many things. So hopefully that was the Lord's chance right there. To hopefully, when he went away, that rich young ruler, hopefully he ended up becoming a believer in the end. Because that was the one thing, and I'm sure he thought about it. Like, the Lord is the awesomest teacher. Like, he just hits right in the bullseye every time, where, you know, he knows exactly where our hearts are. But it's this whole self-righteous thing, you know. Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. So, you know, God looks at the heart. Man looks outwardly. That's where this tendency of this self-righteous attitude and things like that, that's where that comes from. And that's where what comes from, man trying to justify himself in some way with his works. I got to clean up. I got to do this. I got to do that. And the law is good. The law tells us, you know, this is what you should do. This is righteousness. But see, the issue is not that God expects you to keep the law, because you can't. The law is there to show you that you can't match up. It is like, you know, the measuring rod. And then you place yourself right next to that measuring rod, and you see how you've fallen short. And that's the reaction that God's trying to get, because then that leads you to Christ, because Christ is the Holy One of Israel. Six is man's number. We fall short. That Holy One added to the six makes God's perfect number seven. Just as Christ, when we are born again through the Spirit, Christ is our deliverer. Faith in Christ. That's the only place righteousness can come from, is faith in Christ. It's faith. For it is impossible to please God without faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Who diligently seek him. So, let's move on. They were trying to, he said, those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. And then he's going to tell you what the reason is. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Now, this is where it gets a little bit deeper. This is where I'm going to have to get you to sharpen up and listen a little bit. Some of you guys may have already seen this, but I wanted to share this with you because this is really important. So hopefully the Lord will enable me to use the right words to explain this. Have you ever seen something in your spirit and you understand it in your spirit, but it's kind of difficult sometimes to like put it into words? That's this situation right here. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. And there is the surface thing that pops out that, well, if I'm circumcised, then, you know, I'll have fulfilled what the other people who are the Judaizers, you know, want, and they won't, you know, they won't bag on me. You know, I've been circumcised. But I think there's a little bit of a deeper meaning here. Beyond just the good impression outwardly, hey, I've been circumcised, and look, I did that, and the law requires me to be circumcised, and I've been circumcised, so aren't I a good person because I did what the law said, and all this. And see, the reaction is, aren't I a good person because I did what the law said? See, that tail end is the problem. It's not doing good that's wrong. No flesh will be justified by the law, and there will be no flesh that will boast in God's sight. So boasting and pride and all that is all, God hates that. So he bound all men over to transgression that he might have mercy on them all, it says in Romans. So, but see, if you're not putting on the airs of saying, you know, oh, you know, I'm keeping the law and I do this, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't curse, and I don't do this, and I don't do that, and all that. See, then you go to church, and you're all cool with everybody, because you got that outward thing, you know, that outwardly, you're all in a little group there, and all that. But what about somebody who would come into the church, and see, all these other people are sinners too, but they got this outward good impression going on, and they all hide. And then somebody comes into the church, and this person loves Jesus with all his heart, but he just comes in there and starts admitting, you know, I struggle, I have a weakness, I drink, you know, I smoke, and I'm struggling with it, you know, I've been going to the Lord, and I love the Lord, but, you know, and I fall into this sin or that sin sometimes, and it's like, ooh, they all look down on them, you know, when everybody else really knows that they're sinners too. See, we're justified by the cross, and we're justified by Christ. There is no righteousness gained, no justified righteousness gained through the law. You're just not going to be justified based on the law. You're not. You're justified by Christ and his work. So the only thing you can do is agree with it, to have faith in it. To have faith in that, to get back in the garden get back to the garden, what Adam and Eve had. They had faith. They just believed God. They walked with God until the doubt entered in. And that's why Jesus preached faith. So the only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Because, you know, if you go in there and reveal you're not circumcised and you're not keeping this law and that law and all that or whatever, and you're not doing the outer things that make it look like you're a good Christian, and you actually reveal some of your struggles and weaknesses, oh man, you know, like now you're a target. Because they're all hiding it. They've got their circumcision. They're hiding it. So now you're a target. You're like, they can stay in hiding and they can attack you. Oh, you're the brother in sin that needs to be restored. And see, it's all just a big farce. What is man? Nothing. We have nothing except the Lord. The Lord created everything. He created everything. This whole world and everything we're experiencing, his word, it's school. He's teaching us. And it's all about trust and faith. And it's about getting rid of pride. There's nobody going to stand there on that day justified before the Lord by their own works. It's going to be like, you know, kneeling down at the Lord's feet and saying, Lord, I have nothing. I have an empty hand. And if I had something in my hand, it wasn't for me, because the only thing I have to give is what you give me. It's all the Lord. Boasting is excluded. There is no boasting about what you've done and what works you've done. It's time to sit down in the ash heap and realize that you've made a mess of your life. That you're a sinner. Humble yourself before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Don't try to lift yourself up. Don't justify. Come into the light. Let the light expose your deeds. Don't hide like Adam and Eve did in the garden and sow fig leaves. And try to hide. Don't sow those fig leaves to cover your sin, because you can't cover it. There is no remission of sins without the shedding of blood. And the precious blood of our Savior was shed. So if you are trying to gain salvation through works, it's not going to happen. Then Christ died for nothing. If righteousness could be gained through the law, then Christ died for nothing. And He didn't die for nothing. His death was monumental. It was like the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth, of the world. Foundation of the world is eternal. It was meant as a blood covenant because it's so awesome to be purchased by your own God. The Lord Himself purchased us with His blood. There's nothing closer than that. There's no greater love. And He loves us. And this world's messed up, man. People are just lost in their mentalities. Like, so much arguing going on and mistrust and evil suspicion. Like, the world is just going down the tubes. You know, there's so much corruption working through the lump of dough in this world. It would literally crush us if we saw it for what it really is. We wouldn't even be able to live here. It's by God's grace. Paul goes on in verse 13. He says, not even those who are circumcised obey the law. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law, yet they want you to be circumcised, that they may boast about your flesh. So he's saying the people that are dogging on you because you're not circumcised, or because you're not keeping their customs, traditions, or obeying this, you're not worshiping the Lord on Saturday, you're a heathen or whatever because you don't know about all the feasts and everything. God looks at the heart. That's the most important thing, is that God looks at the heart. They don't even keep the law perfectly. Yet they'll come at you and say, how come you're not doing this? It's Judaism. Judaizers is what Paul called them. And, he got so angry at it because it was so in the opposite direction of what Christ was trying to teach. He got angry. He's protective. He said, I wish they'd go all the way and emasculate themselves.
you know? And that was just him expressing his passion, because he's like, look, just go the whole way. Hey, you're going to circumcise. And it's like, you can't be justified by the law. By the works of the law shall no be flesh justified. So even the ones that wanted them to be circumcised, they didn't even obey the law. He said, not even those who are circumcised obey the law, yet they want you to be circumcised, that they may boast about your flesh. So there's all this boasting going on about the flesh. He said, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. So he's glorying in Christ. He's glorifying Christ. He's glorying in what Christ has done, not anything, this outward flesh-boasting thing. So it says neither, and it's interesting, he said he's been crucified to the world and the world's been crucified to him. So there's just this break. You died to sin. How can you live any longer in it? He says, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. I think it also, he also says, what is it? Faith expressing itself through love is the only thing that counts. So, and that is a new creation. You are a new creation in Christ. If you have truly been experienced that conversion that takes place when God places his Holy Spirit in you and you are quickened, and you hath he made alive who were dead in their trespasses and sins. If you've truly been quickened by the Spirit of God, then you are a new creation. You have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. So he says, peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, even to the Israel of God. So Paul was more concerned with the spiritual a lot, as you can see. He's like, I'm talking about spiritual Israel, the Israel of God, the true Israel. Finally, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. He's saying, look, I've been through a lot. He's like, I don't need any more trouble. I mean, he had been through so much, and he gloried in that. He says, I'd much rather glory in my sufferings and weaknesses than in my strength, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And he says, he finished it up, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. The grace, talking about grace, he always started it and ended it with grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. So, thus ends the reading and of Galatians 6. That's the end of the series. You guys had to wait for Galatians 6 quite some time because, like I said, I've been off the mic for a while. But it's been good to hang out with you guys again and come back and share a little bit of the word with you. I figure, you know, there's a lot of podcasts out there, you know, and there's a lot of we call one verse revolving reverence. I think I heard that from a guy named Arnold Murray, who teaches out in Gravette, Arkansas. He calls them a one verse revolving rev, and I kind of relate, because somebody reads a verse and then they expound and it's all this pop psychology and whatever, and just be a nice person and whatever and live your best life now. So it's nice to just get into the Word and read the Word, and you have it in the podcast form. You have it on your iPhone or your iPod, your Zune. Maybe just you have a browser podcatching program. But wherever you are, it's nice to have that, you know. And I guess if you guys are like me, you like to download a podcast and sometimes listen to it as you go to sleep. You know, it's comforting, and you get the Word in you, and you get some of that, you get some of that Word expounded upon. It's you know, an exercise. I'm just kind of there with you, and we're chewing on it together. That's all. We're just chewing on the Word, you know, and because if you just do a surface reading, it doesn't go as deep as when you chew on it. You meditate on it. You say, what does this mean? And you let the Holy Spirit open the eyes of your understanding. You think about it. If you'll just take the time to think about it, you're kind of like seeking the Lord. And if you seek, you'll find. You knock on the door, it'll be answered.
you know. So that's yeah, that's it. But so that finishes up the Galatians series. I hope you guys were blessed by that. I hope that TrueStream is a blessing to those of you who download all around the world. I'm still getting downloads. It's amazing. It's been months and months and months. I just put up three podcasts that have been sitting on my hard drive just waiting to be edited. So I put those up, but really I haven't done a new podcast since I think the last podcast I did was October. So that was like 7 months ago. And it's just amazing to me how the Lord works. You know, the podcast has just been continually each, you know, month I'm getting downloads and downloads, and you know, people are still listening to the podcast, and I'm thankful for that. So like I said, I don't guarantee how many podcasts per week I'm back on here. I just wanted to get back on the mic and share with you guys and let you know that we're still here. We may be doing a revamp of the TrueStream Oasis website. Not sure there, but you guys are welcome to go there. If anybody wants to volunteer to keep that, to get that forum going, I would appreciate that, because a forum is an awesome place to fellowship, and it's a lot of fun to go in there and read what other believers think, and it can be a great place of discussion. There's already some posts in there, but I've taken on a lot of duties at work. My responsibility is going up there, and I don't get the time that I used to, so I may not be able to go in there as much as I had when we first put the site up. So if somebody wants to contact me and take that on, you know, if you feel the Lord's calling you to do that and you feel that TrueStream is a worthy ministry and you want to take that on, that would be awesome. You're welcome to do so. Just let me know and we'll chat about it. But I guess what we'll do is we'll wrap this podcast up. We'll reel in this cast, as I always used to say. And I just hope you guys are blessed. Pray that God will bless you. I pray that those of you out there who might be listening to this, you might be saying, I don't listen to Christian stuff in the Bible, but why am I still listening? There's probably a reason for that, and it's probably because God is calling you. Everybody's time comes when God calls them. Will you answer? Life is more than just, you know, a box of chocolates. And I'll just let that sit there, because you haven't even scratched the surface. This isn't the beginning of the end. This is the end of the beginning. When you die, for Christians, it's the end of the beginning. It's eternity. And we don't know what is an eternity, but I'll tell you this. I'll tell you what the Bible says. And if we just get you to believe the Bible, we have a good start. See, I could just quote Bible verses, and if you don't believe what the Bible says, I can't do anything. But let me just tell you what the Bible says. It says the eye has not seen, the ear has not heard, and the mind has not conceived of the good things that God has for those who love him, that God has prepared for those who love him. So it's going to be pretty awesome. I mean, after all, he is God, and he says, I'll make all things new. All the old things will be passed away. There'll be no more death, no more tears. I mean, unless you're addicted to that kind of stuff, unless you're like, just like, nah, I don't want to go there because I love crying. I love death. I love evil. I mean, if you're one of those people that love the darkness and won't come into the light, you'll get what you want. And that's a shame, because there is so much more there. And even though the light exposes all of our deeds, we will be changed one day into an immortal and perfect spiritual body like Christ. And I don't want you to miss out on that. Really don't. So I would recommend anybody, you say, how do I start a relationship? You know, because I want you to reconcile with the Father. And you might say, how do I do that? Call out to him. Just talk to him. God listens. God listens to a repentant, humble heart. Call out to him and be real. I can't tell you what to pray. Only the cry of your heart and genuineness will know what to pray. But you speak to him. Talk to him.
and ask him to save you. Ask him to put the spirit of his son in your heart. The Bible says that if you believe in your heart that God raised Christ from the dead, and you confess it with your mouth, thou shalt be saved. I guess you could go through the motions, but if you do that and you really mean it, you've got faith, and that faith is a gift from God. So if you feel God tugging on your heart, call out to him and respond. Today is the day of salvation. I love you guys. You can contact me at epiphos@hotmail.com. That's E-P-I-P-H-O-S, E-P-I-P-H-O-S at hotmail.com. Don't forget, you can visit the TrueStream website for more podcasts. We've got plenty of them. There's like 50 podcasts before this one, I think. So there's plenty of material, any things that you're interested in. Maybe you see something, an issue that would be dear to your heart that you might need some encouragement on, or something you want to understand. You're stuck in conspiracies and you don't know what's going on and you don't know which way is up anymore. You feel your Christianity has been just disillusioned. You found the right place, because this is a place where I started the podcast. As I said in the beginning, I got into the conspiracies and God led me out, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to lead people out of the conspiracies back into his word, where we're talking about God's word. We're focusing on Christ and focusing on that salvation in the midst of this darkness, because we all know it's there. We all know there's something wrong with the world. So go back and listen to some of those other podcasts. I hope it'll be a blessing for you. You can find it at www.truestreamoasis.com, or you can go to truestream.podomatic.com. You can also go to the Revelations Radio Network at revelationsradionetwork.com, and you can find a lot of different podcasts with covering a wide variety of subjects, but with one thing in common, and that is that we all love and confess the name of Jesus Christ as Lord. There's only one, it says, many hosts, one message of salvation. So go and check out revelationsradionetwork.com, and I just want to say thanks for taking the time to listen. I pray the series was a blessing to you. Pray for me. I'll pray for you. Pray that God gives me something to give to you guys, and I'll be back on the mic, and I'll share it with you. But until then, you know, stay in the Word. Every day in God's Word is a good day, and that is our light, as I said in the beginning. So just stay in his Word, be blessed, keep the faith, patiently endure, and do not grow weary in well doing, and we'll be there. We will reap the harvest if we don't become weary. So for these you guys out there weary, one more time, don't give up, okay? Stay close to the Lord. He will carry you through the rough times. I'm your host, Amos Ridley, and if I don't see you on this side, I certainly hope to see you on the other side. There